The show today is all about conferences and education. In fact, a whole new concept in conferences, the Unconference, where people get together and talk about whatever they want. We're joined by Jason Schmidt and Sally Draper as usual. A whole lot of listener feedback, picks, and a lot more.
This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 273 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Tuesday, January 29th, 2013. My name is Martin Spriggs. I'm coming to you from the luxurious home offices of the Spriggs family, deep in the basement of our home. Just feeling a little bit under the weather the last few days, but the podcast must go on. Right, Sally?
That's right. We appreciate you being a trooper. The podcast goes on here in Sleepy Eye, despite the fact that I'm living in an ice skating rink these days. So we are very deep in ice, and the kids are on their second two-hour delayed start school day. So that's the news from Sleepy Eye.
Oh, and that we have an additional home office to introduce this morning, our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent straight from Omaha, Nebraska, Jason Schmidt. Morning, Jason.
Morning, Martin. Good morning, Sally.
How are you? Any ice down there?
No ice. We had we've been living in fog for the past day and a half though. So real dense fog. It's been kind of crazy. But
yeah, my head is kind of in a fog. So
you know what we're going through.
And exactly what you're feeling like. Yeah, exactly. But fortunate for our listeners, we are going to add some clarity to a very important topic, and that's professional growth or education. And we've found I think an excellent way to get together with like-minded people and learn good stuff as an educator. And we're going to jump into something we don't do very often, is jump right into our interview of the week with Emily Dittmar, who is one of the leaders of something called EdCamp. Maybe just a brief introduction for EdCamp, Jason, if you would.
Yeah, sure. So what EdCamp is it's a grassroots kind of a movement where people kind of take control of their own professional development. They call it an unconference, and that it's not really a formally set up and structured kind of a deal, but instead you just put out invitations, a whole bunch of people get together and they talk about whatever they want to talk about. So kind of like a big teacher's lounge, but with people who actually really want to be there. You know, typically it's on a Saturday, and you have people presenting on whatever they want to present on, and conversations and discussions. And it's really actually a very beneficial and really a great professional development experience if you have a chance to go to one of those.
Yep. And Emily certainly agrees with you, very enthusiastic about EdCamps, and she's got one coming up in the near future that she wants to tell us about out in, I believe it's the Madison area. So let's listen to our interview with Emily, and then we'll regroup and talk a little bit more about it.
We are happy to have joining us tonight on the Wells Tech Podcast, Miss Emily Dittmar. She is coming to us from Marshall, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Emily, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we are thrilled to have you. You are a library media specialist there in the public school system in Marshall, mm-hmm. and are joining us to talk about a neat subject we're interested in called EdCamp. And before we get into EdCamp, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I am a library media specialist at a high school, about 400. It's the greatest job that there is. I enjoy it. It's turning more into a tech coach position. So I help a lot of teachers change their curriculum to bring it into the 21st century. And I research a lot of new tools and bring it that way. Only about 30% of my job is spent with books, which really throws people. But we're moving into new territory that way.
Very good. And your background, you went to college at WLC, I understand?
I did WLC all the way. I also went to Wisconsin Lutheran High School, so it's really hard to hide your religion when that happens. So, and then I got my master's in instructional technology from Cardinal Stretch University. So, Wells through and through.
Yeah. Go Wells. How long have you been at your position?
So this is my third year, okay. And for 4 years before that, I taught English in Clinton, Wisconsin.
Okay, cool. So the subject at hand is EdCamp, and I forget how Sally and I stumbled on EdCamp, but it's kind of been on our radar for a little bit, and we're thinking about doing something similar on the Wells side. But Shelley Karstens, who you know went to school with at Stritch, mm-hmm. Recommended an EdCamp that she had gone to after she had gone to one up in Oshkosh. I don't know if you were at that one or not, but you are an organizer of your own EdCamp held in Sun Prairie coming up later next month, February 23rd. So maybe just to level set for our audience, tell us a little bit about what EdCamp is and specifically about your EdCamp that's coming up.
Okay, so an EdCamp is an unconference. An unconference is where you just show up, there's no schedule, and you are there to learn from each other. Okay. So I have gone to 5 EdCamps before.
Wow.
And it's such
an EdCamp veteran.
I guess so. Now I am. But it's such a unique experience because you're not paid to be there. Everyone there is there because they want to be. Mm-hmm. And your goal is just to learn.
Okay.
And it's an amazing experience. That's hard for me to describe without gushing about it, just because it's such an I don't want to say an emotional experience because then you all might think I'm crazy. But it's really, it changes your perspective on education and can be so motivating, because a lot of times I think, well, Rushton Hurley says that the cancer of education is isolation. So how many of us just feel like we are out there on our own facing these 30 bright, shining, terrifying faces every day? Well, mm-hmm. There's support out there, and you can find that through an EdCamp. So the other part about EdCamp is that it's really uses Twitter as its second form. So even if you can't come in person, you can follow along on Twitter, and that's how you extend your connections with the people that you meet there.
Okay. So do you have to be kind of geeky to attend one, or is it
open to
anybody?
It's open to anyone, and everyone will have a different experience if you are on Twitter or not. So I highly recommend that you get a Twitter account or you find your tech buddy to give you kind of a mini Twitter lesson before you go. There's all sorts of webinars on there about Twitter and how to use it at an EdCamp. That's one of the big things that blog posts will be about later. But if you are not on Twitter, you can still go and meet these people in person, and you go and you have conversations.
What did you think when you attended your first one? Did you know what to expect? What was your experience like?
I had no idea what to do. When you go there, there's no schedule, and that really can throw some people.
Right.
And people
it's think not very Lutheran, by the way.
It is not. No. And there's no red jello. so when you go, it's really, you just throw ideas out. And that's what's so cool, because the premise of an EdCamp is you are there to learn. And if you are not learning, that is your own fault. Mm-hmm. So the premise is to be like a bee, where a bee will go and it'll pollinate all these different flowers. So the flowers are like the session. So if a session isn't working for you, get up and go. And that's one of the reasons why Twitter is so important, because you can see what's going on in other rooms and other discussions. So if there's something that's like really interesting in the next room, you don't have to wait for it to be over and ask other people. You get up and you go. Okay. And I think that's so empowering to say, if this isn't working for you, change. Right. And so often in professional development, you are stuck there for 3 hours. Unlike, well, for me, it's always Wednesday nights until 5. We are stuck there forcing knowledge down each other's throats. Mm-hmm. And where an EdCamp is longer than that, but it's so much more motivating, because mm-hmm. you can learn what you want to learn and what's going to help you.
So how big is this event that you're planning in Madison? How many people are you expecting to be there?
We are expecting 250 people. There are currently 60 spots left. We will create a waiting list. In Milwaukee, they did achieve full capacity. So all 250 people showed up.
Okay.
Wow.
And that's 250 free participants. There's no to attend Ed Camps anywhere.
The sponsors of Ed Camp are amazing. I've worked on the sponsorship side, and we're just trying to get new money together. You know, we get money and we get so that we can create this free event for everybody.
So the money, the sponsors basically pay for the venue and any snacks or meals that are provided?
Yes. So you do get breakfast and lunch provided and some water during the day.
Okay. Very cool. Awesome. So what are some of the topics in your previous experiences that you've kind of taken away and said, hey, that was valuable?
Let's see. There some topics that I've taken away. Really like how to use Chrome, and the Chrome browser is really interesting. Different ways to use technology in your classroom, like the language arts classroom, how technology is changing libraries. So you can come and you can learn anything. Also things like books that you want to read. One of the most interesting sessions is, what are you passionate about? What are you excited about right now?
Okay.
So you can go with something as broad and general as that, or to as specific as, how do you use Skype in the classroom?
So is it kind of a collaborative environment if you're in these breakout groups, so everybody's sharing, or is it kind of one person who's got the knowledge and is dispensing it?
Or both? It can go either way, but for the most part, it's collaborative. Okay. It is, you know, share out and share what you know. Ask questions. I mean, some of the greatest sessions are by people who say, I don't know anything about this. Come teach me. Mm-hmm. Is another way to go about this.
Cool.
So if you're planning to attend and you have something exciting you want to share, how do you get the topics that day? How does that all work and come together and actually gel into an unconference?
Someone's on a Google Doc. And they just write down the sessions that go, and you just have a room, and it just goes.
So all 250 people are there yelling stuff out?
It's run different ways. I mean, a lot of times you get a line, and you get people just saying their session into the microphone.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay.
Cool. And so you mentioned that you are seeking out sponsors. What else is involved in organizing an event like this?
Finding the location, So we had to get Sun Prairie to agree to let us host it there, making sure that you have enough bandwidth, because that is huge. So to get extra bandwidth, sometimes into the high school system. Mm-hmm. So also, you know, the food around, and that's a bit about it. The EdCamp Foundation, you can search for it online, does give initial sponsorships to it, and they are a really great resource. They have a resource finder that they give you. So it's a really great organization to be a part of.
Okay. So the EdCamp itself, is it mostly classroom teachers that are there? And if so, all over the grade levels? Is it elementary school? Is it high school? Is it, you know, down to preschool?
It's from all over. And recently more administrators and more school board members have been attending. So you can come and you will find someone who is doing what you are doing for the most part. And as the only high school library media specialist in my district, it's really great that I can go and communicate with these other tech coaches and other librarians that way. So you will not be isolated here.
Okay. Do you see return, you know, do you make some friendships and make some connections as a result too? So networking is maybe just as valuable as the sessions themselves?
Yes, of course. So you've had Chad Kafka on your program before. So he is one that I know now because of Twitter and because of Ed Camps. He and Tammy Lynn organized one in South Milwaukee that will be happening in May again.
Okay.
So yes, and then it's really fun when you get to see these people in person. That's amazing.
Yeah, cool.
Sounds like you are just a great ambassador for it. I'm glad we had the chance to talk to you.
I wish you got a little more excited about it.
Yeah, exactly. Enough good.
I know. Well, when I went to my last one, my coworker looked at me and said, okay, are you about to geek out? And I just did. I'm geek out about Ed Camp because it's the greatest way for me to get my professional development. My district can't provide what I need anymore. I have to go find it on my own. I'm the one who gives a lot of professional development at my district at that level. So this is how I keep up with it. And this is how I stay good at my job.
Okay. So if somebody wants to go to an EdCamp, what's the best way for them to get hooked up?
Just go. There's a wiki that with EdCamps that are coming up in the various areas. So you can go and then you can find more information on everybody's website.
And what's the website for that? What's the website for the wiki?
If you just Google
edcamp.org.
Wikispaces.org, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely have the link in the show notes.
Cool. Okay. Cool. Thank you, Emily. Really appreciate your time. And I know you're going to have a good time in at your next EdCamp. And maybe Sally and I will see you at one.
Okay. Excellent. We hope to.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you very much, Emily. That was there probably isn't a greater endorsement than enthusiasm for a conference like that.
Yeah, she was wonderful to talk to, and yeah, her enthusiasm is definitely contagious.
She believes in it, absolutely.
We appreciate her joining us. And just to give a plug specifically to the Madison Ed Camp, it is coming up on February 23rd. It's going to be on a Saturday, as Jason mentioned. Many of them are on Saturdays. Kind of a full-day conference, but the ticket price is free, as are all Ed Camps. So there's still 35 slots remaining. To attend Emily's Ed Camp. And if you're in the Madison area, can make it to Sun Prairie High School that day, then maybe you want to hop on over and get signed up. We will have that link in the show notes.
So, Jason, what have your experiences been with Ed Camp? You've been to a number of them, and sounds like you are you're a believer as well. What if you were to try and do a pitch, you know, for our listeners as far as, you know, getting one of these on their schedule, you know, what would that be?
That's a great question. You know, I've been to two Ed Camps, the both of them in Omaha here. I'm actually one of the co-organizers for that. And the greatest thing about it is just getting together with a whole bunch of like-minded people. Everybody there is, you know, they're there because they want to be there, and they're involved because they're passionate about what they're doing. They're passionate about education. It's not even necessarily just a technology focus. You know, with all of the really good teachers that I've worked with, you can't really divorce that from, you can't divorce that technology and application of technology from the good teaching. But the ideas that are exchanged and the way that the conversations progress and the just the deep learning that goes on in that short amount of time is really, really a lot of fun and really an interesting experience. Mm-hmm. Plus it gives you a chance, you know, you broaden your network and you get outside of kind of, you know, you get a chance to meet a lot of people that you maybe would not have been able to meet in real life before. So.
Sure. So in your experience, what have been some of the real interesting sessions that you've been involved with? Can you think back to those?
Oh man. Well, one of the most interesting ones that I went to was actually a planning session for a student-led conference that we're going to be trying to get going here in Nebraska. So basically an ed camp for students, which you know, you think about it, and it's actually that's quite an undertaking because you're mm-hmm. not talking about responsible adults. You're talking about, you know, 16, 17, 18 year old kids. So that part of it is kind of intimidating, but, we're working on a partnership actually with NDE and, try to get something like this going across the state. So that was a really interesting one, a lot of fun. I've been to a couple of Evernote sessions and iPad sessions and, how to use those tools, you know, if you have them available, how to use them really effectively. And then I went to one that was just on reading strategies, and that was fantastic. It was a, you know, the lady who was leading the conversation was a, she has a PhD in literacy instruction, and, you know, it was just talking about different comprehension strategies and things that you can use with that. So, I mean, just, and all over the map, you know, you have postdoctoral people that come to these, and there were a bunch of, pre-service teachers that were there too. So, you know, you got the whole gamut of abilities and experiences, and it's so much fun just to see how everybody comes together and, really just, you know, they just want to make a difference in what they're doing and kind of change the profession. So it's really, it was really, really a lot of fun. Highly suggest it to anybody who has the chance to go.
And your date coming up is March 23rd. That'll be the Ed Camp in Omaha that's going to be held at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. Mm-hmm. And just for those of you that are looking for Ed Camp in general, they're all over the country. So that made it a great topic for Wells Tech because we reach a lot of different areas. You can find one in your area, I'm guessing, because if you can see my screen on the video portion of the podcast, all the little bullet points represent different Ed Camps, and they're everywhere. Just in the short list of upcoming events, they cover everything from Maine to Madison, Alabama, and all over the place. And then there's a complete calendar of Ed Camps. I know Emily mentioned one coming up in Milwaukee in May. So check out the website for all those links to Ed Camp events. Yeah.
I'm thinking Wells Tech field trip to the Ed Camp Orange County next fall.
Next winter sounds right.
Yeah.
Jason, do you know the history how this all got started?
You know, just real briefly. I think it got its start with the bar camp movement, which I have no idea what that is. I think it was more along the lines of programmers who would get together and meet at a bar and just do a whole bunch of coding and kind of collaborating and working with each other and working on those kinds of projects. And then it just kind of, it grew from there. I think the first Ed Camp was in Philadelphia, but I'm not 100% sure. But I know it did start out east, and then it's just kind of it's grown and grown, you know, between Twitter and LinkedIn and all of that kind of stuff. That it just kind of all that social media just is something that continues to grow, and it's more and more people find out about it.
Okay.
And I just wanted to make mention, it was funny because I knew we were preparing for this show, came across a blog post just released yesterday or the day before from the Languages blog where she talked about new forms of professional development. She specifically talked about the Ed Camp movement and also something, Martin, that you and I had talked about, Picha Kucha, from the presentation Zen book that we were reading where people present but with a set stack of slides. They have just a few seconds on every slide and have to get through their stack of 20 slides or whatever it may be. And just an additional thing, if you're thinking about planning, they planned one of these, invited people to come up with these slide presentations and gave away an iPad for the best one. So there's a way to get people to be involved in your conference, away an iPad.
Yeah, not only offer it for free, but probably give food and giveaways. So
yeah,
that's a great Lutheran combination.
Yeah,
lots of creative professional development opportunities and ideas out there. So maybe we need to put on our thinking cap and come up with a way that Wells can take advantage of some of these.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's Ed Camp. So definitely go, if you are a teacher, go to the Ed Camp site. We'll have a link to it in the show notes and find one near you. And maybe somewhere in our future, we'll put together one ourselves. So it's exciting.
Definitely.
Let's move on to our picks of the week. Sally, you want to lead off today?
I would be happy to. I'm sharing a pick of the week, something that I'm knee deep in right now, and that is planning a family science night for our school. This is through the PTO program. And I've mentioned before on the podcast, the fabulous website PTO Today.
Awesome. Yeah.
Lots of great resources there. And specifically, they have developed these school family nights. And what's wonderful about it is, number one, the price tag. This is completely free. And number two, they'll send you a whole packet of information to get your events off the ground. Last year, we hosted a family reading night, which was just a grand success here with all their great ideas, everything from fun games and activities to play. We had an I Spy table and we had a build your own family book table and things like that, but also snack ideas and everything. And so we wanted to continue the trend. And this year we're going for their family science night. And so they send you, like I said, a whole packet of information, beautiful posters and professional material to promote your event. the science night is kind of geared toward having stations where you do science experiments, and they're hands-on things. You get everybody involved in them. And then the kids have a journal, and they give you all this stuff for copying and that kind of thing, where the kids journal their science experiments and stuff. And, you know, we'll throw in some snacks and some door prizes and things like that. And it looks to be a fun night. Ours is coming up in just about a week and a half. So wish me luck with pulling together all these great experiments and things. And it should be good. And if you're interested in family reading night, a family science night, they also have family movie night, Connect family game night, where they're kind of focusing on getting you moving, not just sitting around, and but lots of good game ideas. They have a Go Green night, so if you're interested in recycling and those kind of things, they have a lot of educational resources for that. All of it, again, for free on the ptotoday.com website. So check it out and let us know if you do a family fun night at your school.
Cool. I don't know how that PTO Today site does it, but they just have some awesome material and usually all free. They must have some awesome sponsors to be able to do that. But I've ordered some stuff from them before. I did an internet safety thing from them, and they're really forward thinkers, and the material is really quality.
Very professional. For our family reading night, they not only sent us all the packet of material, but they sent us a free hardcover Shel Silverstein book to use as a giveaway. So like a $20 book thrown in for the prizes.
Awesome.
As well. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Thank you, Sally. Jason, how about yourself?
Well, I pulled an 11th hour change on you guys, so I'm deviating a little bit. Yeah, that's right. I wanted to show you it's actually a Google document script called Doctopus. So it's like octopus with a D on the front of it. What this script basically does is it allows you to set up a template for your students, and then using Google Apps, create copies of it, share it, and start tracking changes and all of these kinds of administrative kinds of tasks that you end up doing. And then it also allows you to add your comments to a spreadsheet. So instead of having to individually look at each one of the documents and each one of the and kind of, you know, having kids share it with you and all of that kind of stuff, this script kind of does all of that background administrative stuff for you. And then you can quickly and easily, more quickly and more easily, I should say, assess all of that reading and all of that writing that happens in Google Documents. So this is not something that you require Apps for Education in order for it to work. All you need is email addresses and students' Google accounts. So Doctopus is a Google Apps script.
So the students submit what? A Google Doc as an assignment? It flows into the spreadsheet, and then you basically take your assessment notes or feedback on the spreadsheet, and that goes back to the students?
I'm not sure how the feedback part of it works.
Okay.
It keeps track of I haven't played with it enough to figure that out yet. It puts the assignments into a spreadsheet, and then it gives each one of them, like there's a score category and there's a comments category, and kids are able to see that. I don't know how it looks, because I haven't honestly looked at it enough yet to be able to figure it out. But, it was just so cool that, you know, I figured it was worth sharing.
Okay, cool. Cool. All right. My pick of the week is for you Android smartphone users, or tablets, I suppose, as well. It is a product called SwiftKey. It's a keyboard. One of the real important pieces between you and your device is that keyboard. And I think Apple in general has done a pretty good job at their keyboard, although there's some annoyances. One of the big annoyances is you can never change it. You are kind of stuck with what they're giving you, which is one of the benefits of going with more of an open platform like Android. And there are a number of keyboards out there that you can download download and install and replace the stock keyboard that comes with your Android phone or tablet. And the one that I use is called SwiftKey. And there's a couple reasons that I like it. One is it's very good at predictive typing. And that's one thing that the iOS keyboards are pretty good at. And one thing that I miss moving from an iPhone to an Android phone is that keyboard, that predictive nature of the keyboard. And SwiftKey, I think, even surpasses what iOS can do. Because one thing that SwiftKey does is it gets smarter. You can allow it to look into your Facebook, Twitter, Gmail, RSS feeds, your SMS, text messages, and it analyzes that for common words that you use or read. And then as you're typing, it suggests corrections, and you can set it to the level that you want it to correct your typing automatically or more manually. And it is amazingly smart over time, especially if you allow it to take a look at some of these sources. And because you normally use a lot of similar words, and your phrases are similar from application to application. And SwiftKey does just a great job at that. It's not free. I think it's like $1.99 or $4.99 in the Google Play Store. They've recently come out with a beta now called SwiftKey Flow, which is available to SwiftKey users. And I think Flow beta is available to anybody for free to try. It's more of a swipe. And I think I've talked about swipe in the past, where you can simply drag your finger over the keys from key to key without even lifting it up. And it will predict what word you're going to type. So you can, it's good for one finger typing. So if you're just typing with your thumb, and especially with some of these larger phones, it's important to be able to kind of keep a good grip on your phone at all times. But they've just done a nice job. And I think the industry in general recognizes SwiftKey as the way to go for Android keyboards. So it's something that I really couldn't dispense with at this point to at least, and I'm not a great typer anyway on smartphones, and this really helps me out. So,
and you probably said this, but if you did, I missed it. Is it free or is there a fee for it?
It's, I believe it's either $1.99 or $4.99.
Okay.
And I don't remember which, but.
All right. Good pick.
All right. Shall we move along?
I think we should hit this community resources section because we have a lot of feedback to share today. Starting with...
Fire when ready, Sally.
a conversation over on the Wells Tech listserv. For those of you that may not be familiar, we have a listserv where you can email the class, basically. Over 500 people are part of that listserv, and you always get great response there if you have a tech and ministry type question, be it in the classroom or the church or school office, whatever it is. This week, there was a question from John Wolt, who is at St. Matthew in Winona, Minnesota, and he was wondering if there was a good text messaging service that schools use to send messages to parents. And that's a great question. I know we want to make use of that SMS technology because that is instant communication for many, many people. And we had several people respond with different fee-based solutions like One Call Now, Power Announcement, and Jason, I think you said your school district uses Blackboard Alert Now. But also, someone responded with a link to an article on the Free Technology for Teachers website. This is done by Richard Byrne. And he has a list of 7 services for sending group text to parents, including Class Parrot, Class Pager, Send Hub, WeText, and Remind 101, among others. So from those 7 solutions, you ought to be able to find something, even free, that you can use in your school setting to be able to text message parents.
Cool. That site is awesome as well. Sally, we should try and get him on the show at some point in the future.
Wouldn't that be a coup? Yeah, we should do that.
I bet he would totally be willing for
that. I bet he would, too.
I've met him before. He sounds just like Ray Romano.
Oh, he doesn't look like Ray Romano.
He sounds exactly like Ray Romano. It's awesome. He's just fun to talk to.
Cool.
All right. Jason, you actually shared a link to a new Google group. I thought maybe you could tell us about that.
Yeah, you're really fast because I just set that up last night. So you see that it's pretty unpopulated right now. But the group that I set up is actually a follow up to the class that I'm teaching right now through MLC for Google Apps administrators. This is kind of, you know, you. There's so much going on with Google, and it's impossible to keep up with everything. And there are so many innovative things that teachers can do, and that you know, that parts of the console can handle. And you know, Google's support is excellent, but you know, sometimes you just want to get an answer from somebody else. So I kind of set this up as a way for people to keep up the lines of communication and talk to each other about issues that they're having or ideas that they had, or if they're having a particular, you know, they want to accomplish something in particular, this would be a good way to kind of set up that collaborative space. So we'll see how it goes and kind of take it from there. So like I said, I initially set it up for my class, but anybody's open to join it. Anybody who's interested, certainly feel free to do that. Just because, you know, like I said, it's just we want to try and build that collaboration and have that ability to connect with each other outside of class. So that's what's going on with that.
What's the group called?
It is, I even forgot what I called it. Well, it looks Wells like... Google Apps Schools.
There you go.
Okay.
Very and specific.
You would just go to Google Plus and do a search on that, and you'd probably come up with that.
And you know what? I also set up a community in Google Plus too.
No, so
I just wherever people are at, that's fine. I'm slowly but surely working my way out of Facebook and into Google Plus, just because I don't really like Facebook anymore. Mm-hmm. So, but I, you know, slowly but surely we'll get there. And I'm, you know, if people are interested, it'll grow. And if not, then that'll be okay too.
Cool.
Excellent. All right. A couple of links I shared over on Digo. One was to a new blog that I had to subscribe to called Flipping with Kirsch. I read about it, I believe, from the folks at TechSmith, because this lady's doing a really great job of flipping her classroom. And she's a math teacher, secondary math. And that just rings a bell with me. So I thought just one example blog post that I read, she recently outlined how her classroom is set up, and she has quite a different classroom setup, areas for the students to work on computers, to work on group collaborative projects, and that kind of thing. And even one area that she has designated as the testing area, but they're all doing kind of self-study at their own pace. So they go take their tests whenever they need to in the testing area. And after she goes through and shows you lots of photos of her classroom, she has even a schematic drawing of the classroom. So very innovative, just right off the bat with this first blog post that I read from her. And I think if anyone's interested in flipping and in math classroom information, this would be a great blog to follow.
Cool.
Next up, I had tagged an app, and this is kind of odd for me to tag this because it's a Mac-only app, and I'm not a Mac person, but I read some really good things about this. And basically, it's a photo editing app that allows you to erase photo bombs, they're called. And kind of a new term to me. I got to get with it a little bit more, but I heard about photo bombs because of the inauguration last week, and apparently there were a lot of photos that were taken with people in the background kind of thing. I think there's a pretty famous one where Kelly Clarkson was singing and Bill Clinton's in the background, like doing a thumbs up or something like that, you know? And so if you want to get rid of some of those extra people in your beautiful pictures, this Mac app is just getting rave reviews. And apparently it's on sale right now for $10 instead of $30. It's called Snap Heal, and you can get it at snapheal.com. And it just allows you to erase, and not just erase people, but it kind of fills in the background. There's some algorithms there that allow it to figure out what should be in the places where those people and things are that you're erasing from the image. So check out Snap Heal if you're looking for a new photobomb corrector software.
Cool. Yeah, Photoshop does this, but at a much higher price. So this is probably worth a try.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit easier to learn too.
Yeah, I would
Photoshop.
Think so.
Yeah, so. All right. A couple of others from our DIGO site. Tom Rosenau shared a couple of links, one to a Lifehacker article called Top 10 Good Tech Habits Everyone Should Have. And everything from auditing your privacy settings to avoiding getting malware. I'd love to do that. Being smart about hoaxes and scams and just some good general knowledge. They have a lot of links to different Lifehacker articles on the specific items that are listed there. So check out that article. And thanks, Tom, for that. He also shared a link to a blog post about creating, editing, and presenting with Google Slides offline. So if you think Google Drive and documents and things are for just online use, you are wrong, because you can do offline stuff with their presentation software called Slides or any of their other tools. And this specific article will walk you through how to do it with the presentation software.
Google is finally coming around to getting some of these things in place. They used to use a kind of a tool called Google Gears, and you know that had a little bit of success, but really wasn't universally accepted or worked on every platform. And now they've figured out that for their Google apps to kind of take off, they really have to be offline as well, and especially with presentation tools, because you're not always in an environment where you're going to have an online connection. So these all make Google Apps, I think, more usable, don't you think, Jason?
Yeah, I would agree. And I know that that's one of those things, one of those technical hurdles that they, as soon as they introduced that real-time collaboration, that was where all of that other offline access stopped, because they had it before and then took it away. But now I'm glad to see that they're working all of that out. That makes it, everything a whole lot more useful.
And I think these tools even work with Chromebooks, which have very little online storage or offline storage, but they do have some. So,
yeah, and that's another really important thing too. I know for their marketing and positioning with all of that, they needed to be able to add that in, and I'm glad to see that they've got that working.
Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on, one more DIGO link to share, this time from Ryan Rosenthal at Faith in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And Ryan has always got an eye out for history and social studies kind of sites. And this one in particular is called Visualizing China. And it's a historical look at China from 1850 to 1950 with imagery from China's history. And so you might want to bookmark this if you're a social studies teacher and visit Visualizing China. Cool. And then to wrap up the community feedback, I'm just so thrilled with our listeners and the information that they share via email with us directly, Martin. Starting with an email we received from Pastor Rob Gunther, who's at Grace in Kenai, Alaska. And he wrote following up on our podcasting show last week. And just with a few tips on how he's doing podcasting, specifically of his sermon there at Grace and getting that online and sharing with people. He actually records his sermon right to his iPhone, I believe. And he uses it with an app called Dropvox, V-O-X, which is an audio recording software, but then it automatically puts it in your Dropbox account. And that's an online storage location. And he has an additional app called WAPWolf set up that converts it automatically. So if it sees an MP4 format come in, it converts it to MP3 or M4P to MP3, whatever it is. So you get it out of that proprietary iPhone audio format and into the more standardized format for sharing podcasts. And then all he has to do is do some intro and outro kind of edits to the file and upload it to his website. But Pastor Gunther didn't stop there. He told us about how he distributes it then, because as he said, it's really important that people get the information. It takes a few minutes for him to do that, but he knows he's reaching people because he puts it on his website. He puts it in Stitcher and iTunes from there, and then he also shares it on their on a blog that he maintains in their Facebook page. And he's had contact with people he went to high school with many years ago, and all kinds of things like that. So it doesn't pay too much to have a podcast unless you're going to let people know about it. That's what he has to say. So thanks for sharing that. that.
He's definitely got the workflow down, and that's really key. If there's a big barrier between you doing it and getting it out there on a consistent basis, then it's going to fall by the wayside. So you've got to grease the skids a little bit and find the tools necessary. And there are a ton of tools out there, so it's just identifying the best ones for you and then putting them into place. So good going. Thanks for sharing, Rob.
Yeah. Also, from our podcast about podcasting, we picked up at least one new listener last week, Martin, and that was retired pastor Bob Saywall, who listened to the podcast on the recommendation of his son. And that's because Pastor Saywall has a bit of a history in terms of audio creation. And it goes back to 1975. He told us kind of the story of starting to do short radio blurbs to bring people the gospel message in, I think, Lubbock, Texas area where he was assigned. And from there, he developed what he calls Points to Ponder and has over 1,000 of these messages that he's written to be delivered in a very compact format, but with the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And I love it. He wrote us and told us that he was 84 years old and he was inspired by our podcast. And now he wants to start podcasting those messages that he has in his arsenal and all that archive of history. And so he was looking for more specific tips on how to get started with podcasting. And we wrote back and shared some ideas with him. And we can't wait to hear your podcast, Pastor Saywall. So you go for it.
Very cool. I don't know if he's the oldest of our listeners, but he's certainly in the team picture. So
yeah, we were really excited awesome. To get your message.
Sounds like maybe a future interview when he, when he gets it going.
Good idea. All right. And then one more follow-up from that episode. One thing that I mentioned last week was that I was going to kick off 2013 with a 10 tools challenge. This was issued by Jane Hart over on her blog, where she encouraged people to pick 10 new things, address one of them each month in 2013, and then kind of recap the experience at the end of the year. So I threw my hat in the ring. I put out there what 10 things I'm going to begin to use this year and evaluate. And I mentioned in the show last week that I was going to start with BuddyPress. So I'm happy to report that I have officially installed BuddyPress, and I've talked to myself there. It's basically your own private kind of Facebook or Twitter interface or whatever. And so I have a lot to say to myself.
I was going
to
say a social network of one. That's great.
That's right.
Sometimes those are the best kind.
Yeah. I do plan to invite some more people to help me test it out. But the interesting part of this story was that I got an email from Jim Bauer, who's over at Christ in Baxter, Minnesota. And he mentioned that he had heard of BuddyPress, but he was interested in doing some social networking within their congregation, kind of a congregation intranet site. And instead of choosing BuddyPress, he went with Elge, I think would be how you'd pronounce this.
Yep, that's right.
Which is kind of a parallel product. It's an open source social networking engine. BuddyPress specifically installs on a WordPress site, whereas Elge is a standalone software solution. And what most excited me about Jim's email was that he included a link to the site he's been working on for Christ Lutheran Church there in Baxter, Minnesota. And this is an Elge site. And as of now, he's just set it up and kind of created groups and things. There are members listed, but they aren't actively using the site yet. So I'm really, really excited to see how his members embrace this, because he's definitely taken the time to have a vision for how to use Elge to separate out different groups like their Board of Ed, elders, outreach, things like that, where they can have private group discussions on this Elge platform. And so much to learn from Jim's experience and the website that he set up, and not to be not to miss the boat, I had to install an Elge site myself. So I'm not just doing the BuddyPress thing, but I'm going to try to compare it to Elge. So we'll see how my efforts manifest. But I think Jim's the real one that we want to watch in this arena, and really appreciate him sharing that with us.
Very cool.
I'm so done.
That's for community feedback.
Yes, sir.
All right. If you too would like to contribute to our community feedback section, and we wish you would, wellstech.wells.net is our show notes page where you can leave a comment. Wellstech@wells.net is our email address. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Google Plus. The listserv Sally mentioned, Digo, all of those links are on that show notes page in the upper right. Just pick your favorite icon and share with us. And it can be little thing, can be big thing, can be suggestions for future shows. We don't care. We would love to have that feedback. Even a good old voicemail we will accept. So, in fact, we would encourage it. So. All right. Next week, we're looking forward to a discussion about digital learning, Wells Digital Learning, because February 6th is Digital Learning Day. Yeah. And we hope to have an interview with a couple of people knee deep in digital learning within our Synod, Jim Grinwald and Rich Gergel. We've talked to both in the past, so they're going to hopefully join us and talk a little bit about the state of digital learning from high school to college to SEM and beyond. So you're not going to want to miss that for next week's show. Jason, Sally, thanks so much for your participation. Enjoyed the conversation, yeah, as always.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Happy to be here, Martin. Hope you feel better.
I'm well on my way to recovery, hopefully. Let's close the show with the music from Corbin Creek, their song, Home Above. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Send me quiet sleep, and to send me